This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm sorry, Travis. Let's knock 3 minutes off my normal lesson. We got a really good class. They're going to pick up quick today. Amen. All right. We are in our series entitled Priorities. Everybody on the count of three, say priorities. One, two, three. Yes, and we are on part four, the first week. It was the first Sunday of the year, and I basically said, if I was your neighbor's mentor, I would just be straight with them. I'd tell them, hey, these are the things you need to do if you want to have an amazing year. I wouldn't talk to you that straight, but I would be talking to your neighbor, right? And then the next week, we talked about the priority of prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives, that prayer should not be our last resort, but it should be our first response. And then last week, we talked about the priority of focus, and to the degree that we really get focused in our lives, we will see amazing things happen in our lives. And so whatever you focus on the longest becomes the strongest in your life, so you have to make sure that you're focusing on the right things, right? And then today, I want to talk to you about something, a priority that is very important to God, and don't take this the wrong way when I say this, but not always important to us. And it's really simple. It's called the priority of rest. The priority of rest. Sometimes, if we're not careful, go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. I'm going to start at the 8th verse. I talk to preachers all the time, of course. And sometimes I'll talk to them and they tell, Doc, I'm going to rest when I get to heaven. I say, well, you're going to get there earlier than me. You got it. Because we have to learn the importance of rest, right? And so I'm going to read one of the longest, we know the Ten Commandments, right? And one of the longest commandments is on rest. It's on Sabbath, right? And I want to read that to you. We're going to jump in, and I think that we're going to get some good insight and information. If you will take this series that I'm teaching you, everything, go back and listen to them. If you will maximize every lesson that I'm giving you, it will absolutely change your life, all right? So Exodus, the 20th chapter, the 8th verse, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That word holy means separate. Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall do what, class? Labor and do all your work, right? How many days? He said, but on the 7th day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do what? No work. He says, you nor your son nor your daughter, your male servant, female servant, cattle, stranger who's within the gates, just nobody does anything. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That word hallowed it means that he consecrated it, all right? Or he just set it apart. Now, we understand that we don't do the Ten Commandments to be saved, because we are saved by grace through faith. For it is by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But how many in the room will agree that there's a blessing when we keep the Ten Commandments, and there's consequences when we don't? Isn't that right? The average believer thinks we should keep 9 of the 10 commandments, right? But you have to realize rest is really important to God. And sometimes the reason our bodies kind of get out of whack is simply because we're not getting the proper rest. You got it? And so I got 2 amens, but I'm going to keep going, all right? Now, y'all know I'm a 3-point preacher, and guess how many points I have for you today? 3. All right. So let's jump right into it. It's going to be a good lesson. Everybody say number one. Point number one, there are reasons why God says to rest. There are reasons why God says to rest. There's reasons why God tells us to do everything. Bottom line is, if you find it in your word, in the word of God, it's the right thing to do. But let me help you shed some light. There are a lot of reasons why God tells us to rest so we can be refreshed. And there's a lot of things. But here's what I really want to talk about today, that it gives God the opportunity to provide for us supernaturally. If we're not careful, we think we got to work all the time. You know, all the time. I got to, what are those phrases y'all got? Make that money. There's some other phrases. What is it? Make that paper. Get that bag. Yeah, all that stuff. You got it. Yeah, those things. Right. Yeah. And if you're not careful, watch this now. You, not even meaning it, you'll put money up here and God right here. Not meaning it, because watch this, your focus should be, if I seek first the kingdom of God, you got it, and his righteousness, his kingdom is his way of doing and being right. He said, then all these other things, the money, the career, everything I need will be added unto me. Of course we need to work, absolutely. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. But the Lord says, yes, you need to work, but you also need to understand the importance and the priority of rest. Does that make sense? All right. So let's keep staying in the Old Testament. Let's read Exodus. Let's read Exodus, the 16th chapter. Let's keep getting the instruction and see if we can't grab some more things. Then he said unto them, this is what the Lord says. Who said it? What does that mean? The Lord said it. All right. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Watch what he says. And I'm going to break all this down because this is incredible. He says, bake what you will bake today, right? Boil what you will boil and lay up for yourselves all that remains, watch this, to be kept until morning. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Now, I'm gonna tell you this again, but I need to tell you now so you can understand, like, well, what is that all about? Well, we're going to read in a minute, you know, that what happens is God pushed so much wanting to provide rest for the people that he says, you know, every day for 6 days, you go out, watch this now, and you go and you get your food, you bake, you cook, whatever, you got it, and you only get enough for today. All right, that's a whole nother thing to get into, that to understand why God said that, but there's a principle behind that as well. But he says, only do it for today. You got it? Don't get any more than just today, because I'm your God and I will provide for you day by day. That's why he says, don't worry about tomorrow, right? And well, watch this. There were people that didn't trust God, so they got more than just for today. They got a little bit for tomorrow morning in case God didn't come through. And the Bible said that every time they did that, when they woke up and went to the kitchen, the food had a stench and there was worms in it. All right? So watch this. Verse 24. So they laid it up till morning as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, eat today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. All right. So on day 7, you're not going to find it. That's why you got to get double on day 6. He says in verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the 7th day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the 7th, on the 7th day to gather, but they found nada, zilch, and zero. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my law? Watch what he says. See, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. He's get as a gift. You got it? He wants you to have a day of rest as a gift, right? Watch what he says. Therefore, he gives you on the 6th day bread for how many days? So day 1, just get food for day 1. Day 2, just get food for day 2. Day 3, just get food for day 3. Day 4, just get food for day 4. Day 5, just get dip. But on day 6, get enough for 6 and 7. Now, if you try to pull that on day 1, on day 2, it's going to stink and have worms in it. Does that make sense? All right, let's keep going. Let's keep. Y'all getting something out of this? Therefore, he gives you on the 6th day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the 7th day. So the people rested on the 7th day. And so God, rest was so important to God that, yes, it's important to work. And I believe we should work. You got it? And y'all know that's high priority, that we should work, but we should also rest. And God says, I want you to understand that when you rest, yes, you will be refreshed, but I also want you to understand that this rest or this Sabbath with you not doing anything, I'm going to show you that I will provide supernaturally for you. Because some people think, man, I got to get it. I got to get it while I'm young. I got to, you know, work every day of the week. You got it. And those kind of things, you know, and every once in a while, there may be a situation where you need to do that, but most of the time not. Most of the time, if I have to work Monday through Sunday, you got, not all the time, you got it, because I understand there's some jobs that make you work, and I, you know, so I'm not all the time, but a lot of times, if that's the case, you know, maybe there's some mismanagement with money, or maybe we're living above our means, maybe we need to do some things to bring it down a little bit, you got it, so we don't overwork ourselves. So the Ten Commandments, you'll find them in the book of Exodus, and you'll also find them in the book of Deuteronomy. So they're in Exodus chapter 20. They're in Deuteronomy, the fifth chapter. In Deuteronomy, we read Exodus, but in Deuteronomy, he says, because you used to be slaves, but I redeemed you, all right? So slaves didn't get a day off, only the wealthy, only royalty. But you have to understand, because we have given our lives to Jesus, we are children of the King. And children of the King sit at the King's table, and they're ahead of everybody. And he wants us to rest and trust him for our provisions in our life. Can I get up? Amen. It's kind of like tithing, that God can do more with your 90 than you can with your 100. God can do more in 6 days, all right, than you can do with 7 days. So, you know, and so you have to understand, you know, one thing that I love is all of the fast food restaurants are open 7 days a week except for one. Which one's not?
Chick-fil-A.
Yep, Chick-fil-A, all right. The average fast food restaurant grosses about $1 million a year, all right. That, like, so the McDonald's on MLK, is there still one on MLK? Okay, all right. And, you know, is there Arby's still on MLK? Yeah, okay. So those kind of places, you know, they gross about $1 million a year, all right? Sunday is the highest grossing producing day for restaurants. But Chick-fil-A is not open on a Sunday, which they specifically say to give our employees a day of rest and worship. So everybody else is open 7 days a week. They gross $1 million a year. Chick-fil-A only works 6 days a week, gives a day off for the employees to have rest and worship, and they gross $5 million a year. Does that make sense? And so I think it has a lot to do with faith and us trusting God and realizing, no, I don't have to overwork it. Yeah, I mean, I have to use wisdom. I need a job. Don't go tomorrow quitting. I'm done. The Lord said rest. One day. One day. Look at your neighbor. Tell him one day. Just one day. One day. Okay. All right. So I think that we have to, it's a matter of our faith. You got it? That I need to, you know, I need to, let me just look at my iPad so you don't think I'm talking to you. I need to slow down. I don't always need to work until 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 o'clock at night and be the last one. It's okay if I leave on time with everybody. And then on certain instances, it's okay if I leave early. It's okay to take some days off. You got it? You know, like, okay. You know, the job gonna make it with you or without you. Y'all do know that, right? They're gonna make it with you or without you. You got it. You can ask anybody who's ever worked for me, whether it's this church or all the businesses that I've ever had. I've always been very good to my employees. I always gave them good time off and those kind of things, you know, because rest is important, right? Because, you know, the thing about it is, if something is not going, nothing's going to happen to you. What did I say? You got it. So, you know, let's not even use you. If somebody's working, right, and something happens to them, and now they can no longer work, you got it? You know what that job's going to do? They're going to clear their desk. They're going to put an ad up. They're going to get somebody else. They're going to keep on going. Am I right about it? But you think, I can't take no PTO because they're going to get upset with me. Praise the Lord. All right, so point number one is there are reasons why God says to rest, all right? Everybody say point number two. Point number two, there are consequences when we don't rest. There are consequences when we don't rest, okay? Now, let me preface this for you before I go any further. We are now in something called the dispensation of grace, all right? Now, when there was a dispensation of law, you got it, people got stoned and all kind of things. So I'm about to show you a principle, but this is not going to happen to you if you don't take some time off. Does that make sense? Okay, I just want to, because we start reading, you'll be like, whoa, all right? Numbers 15 and 32. The consequence is that if we don't rest and we don't get the refreshing, then our body begins to break down and deteriorate. You got it? And that's consequence enough. because you need your health more than you need anything. Oh, no, no, Pastor, I need money. Well, if you don't have health, you can't go spend the money. You got it? All right. Numbers 15 and 32. Now, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And those who found him gathering sticks. Now, remember, this is law. You're not allowed to do this. All right. Gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man must surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall stone him with the stones outside the camp. And then when I read this, I said, oh, thank God I live in the right dispensation. But I tell you what, not many people did what this brother did. So as the Lord commanded Moses. See, you kind of go either way. See, under law, there was a lot of things that if you did this, this was going to happen. You didn't do it. But now in grace, we think that there's all these gray areas. Well, I can do this, and only God can judge me, and he will. Verse 36, so as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. Now, I know that ain't good, all right? But when you look under the dispensation of law, there are things that require death. Murder required death, all right? Adultery required death. You got it. There's even one scripture that basically assumes that rebellious children should be stoned. It says, take them out to the gate. I'm like, oh, Lord, all right. Boy, if you had that in this day and enforced it. And not keeping the Sabbath was one. And that is how important rest was to God. That is how important rest was to God. Babe, you can let Maestro and them know I'm going to give them some change on the clock. They're a good class. Y'all getting anything out of this? All right. Okay. So that's how important rest was to God. And so if it's important to God, it should be important to you. You got it? Maybe, just maybe, as I'm looking at my iPad, if we got some proper rest, if we ate a little bit better, if we exercise, and I'm not talking about you got to go to the gym and pump iron. Just go out in the neighborhood and start walking. You got it. Go up some flights of steps and come back down. Maybe if we did some of those things, we would realize some of the things that we deal with in our bodies would begin to diminish. Maybe if we just drank water. Maybe if sometimes we fasted and turned down our plate, we'd realize that not only is there a spiritual significance, but there's also a natural significance that our body starts healing itself because that's how God designed it. And so I'm not fussing, but I'm just saying maybe if, like how many, we all should do it, but how many pray before you eat? And it goes something like this. Father, thank you for this food that we're about to receive. We ask you to bless it, sanctify it, make it good for my body. You praying with a Cinnabon in your hand. Maybe we ought to just say, Lord, forgive me. Don't let me die in Jesus' name. And I'm not saying that you can't enjoy, some things some of the time, but too much of anything is no good. We need to leave that fried chicken and that fat back alone. All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, all right. Everybody say number three. There are blessings when we do rest. There are blessings when we do rest. Listen to this scripture. So now I was in the Old Testament. You got it. But because we are New Covenant believers, we're going to go to the New Covenant, all right? Mark, the second chapter in the 23rd verse. And I love this. I love this scripture because Jesus is so awesome. Now it happened that he went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grains. And the Pharisees said to him, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were always trying to get something on Jesus. Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? But he, Jesus, said, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry? He and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priest, and also gave some to those who were with him. And David did that. And I remember the first time, love you, Gunny, I remember the first time that I ever read that, like I'm reading the Bible and I'm about to read more. I'm like, man, David is about to die. All right. And watch this. Verse 27. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. So this scripture shows us that God is not legalistic about a Sabbath or a particular day. God didn't make you to serve the Sabbath. He made the Sabbath to serve you. So this is a, so the goal today is to pull out the principle and take one day a week for you to rest. Does that make sense? Yeah. And for you, it might be Sunday, and that might work for you. That didn't work for me because I'm working. Yeah, you know, and so what happens is, you know, I typically try to take either a Monday or a Friday, depending on, you know, what is going on. And, you know, well, Pastor, what should we do on our day off? That's the wrong question. The question should be, what should we not do? And that's, don't do anything associated with work. You got it. Don't answer emails. You know, don't be checking the text. You know, just don't run by the job. You got it. You know, you just have to take a day and you have to rest. Let's go home, Maestro. When we rest, we wear out our bodies. When we become exhausted, watch this, we begin to not think clearly. So it's not just resting your body, but when I rest my body, I rest my mind as well. And so I want to challenge you to start taking a day off to rest. You owe yourself 52 days a year. Now, don't go telling your boss that. I didn't say you get 52 PTO days. You typically only work 5 days a week, right? Okay. And take a day where, you know, like, let's say you're going to use Sundays and, hey, I'm going to worship. And after this, you know, we just going to... Pastor says, I can't work, so I can't cook, babe. No, don't go tell him that. Don't tell him that, right? Praise the Lord. Or make it on Saturday so it's ready for Sunday. Okay, it's 10:08. It's good. I got till 10:15. I'm not going to take that long. But I really, 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 really pray that you take this lesson and not take the prayer room, because that prayer room was good. Or not take the focus, yeah, because if I focus, man, that's going to happen in my life. And take those and let those supersede the importance of rest. You really have to learn to rest. And if you're a husband or wife, you got to almost help force each other to get to the point where you're taking a day of rest. Have an accountability partner. But don't just rest. Let's start eating a little better. Let's start drinking some water. Me and Jay, we were talking the other day. I can't tell you all of our business, but we were talking the other day about water. And he was saying something. What was I drinking? Orange juice? Yeah, listen, y'all, I haven't had orange juice in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I mean, I don't drink orange juice, right? And so he's like, what are you doing? I said, man, I drink water all the time. I drink more water than you do. He said, you don't drink more water than me do, because I drink, you know. And then we going back and forth over water. You got it? And... And so, you know, and then I didn't tell you, but then he DM'd me this thing about what happens if you'll drink water when you first wake up in the morning and, you know, all these things. And I just responded, whatever. You understand? Because I know more about drinking water than you do. All right. You got it. You know, he's all in the gym and all fit and that kind of thing. And I said, yeah, but I'm still your father. You get as strong as you want to. I still put you down. It's something about dad strength. You got it. I got more wisdom. You got it. You might have muscle, but I got more wisdom. And so, but anyways, we were playing around about water. But years ago when we had fasted, and I'm going somewhere with this, and I had you like really just being very healthy. You got it. And we were only doing water. I was experiencing like this issue in my back, and it wasn't anything real bad or anything. Like the doctor said, you don't need surgery or anything. It's just like a muscle or something. But it just would not go away. And I drank water for 21 days straight. And by the end of that, or before that, I noticed, man, my back feels good. Like, you know, and I do believe that I was in faith supernaturally for God to do things. But one thing I did was I said, man, I'm always going to drink water. And for the most part, I drink water 98% of the time. There's I probably shouldn't drink it, but there's a natural energy drink called Alani. I drink one of those in the morning. You got it. When I hit about 45, I felt like I needed me a little energy. You got it. and I drink that in the morning, and you know, and I told Lady, I don't need to drink it every day. She said, oh, babe, it's okay. See, and I got to watch out for my wife who loves me. You got it. You know, she'll go shopping and say, don't bring any sweets to the house. You know, I just thought you might want these fudge rounds. I don't want no sweets. But if we would learn to start using wisdom and get some rest, you got it. Push them fried foods away. Get you some baked chicken and some salmon and those kind. Get you some greens. You got it. Drink some water and start exercising. Like I said, you don't have to go get a membership at the gym and those kind of things. You got it. You don't even have to have a watch to count your steps. You know if you walked a long time. And if you'll do those things, you got it. Maybe give the first half of the day to the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm fasting today till 12 o'clock. You got it. And I'm fasting for the, I'm believing for these things in my life. And you start pushing your life in that direction. You got it. Especially the older we get. You got it. I mean, pastor feels good. You got it. Matter of fact, they just called me. My yearly physical is coming up in a couple weeks. I do it every single year. I believe in the doctor. You got it. I'm going to go to, if I feel something wrong, I'm not in fear, but I'm going to get checked out. Yes, I am. You got it. No, because, I mean, God gave us doctors. So why do we get in fear as people of faith when it comes to the doctor? Does that make sense? All right. How many know Jesus loves you? He paid an incredible price for you. We've got something coming up, and it's 10:12. I'm closing. And so we've got something coming up where we're, that's me. We got something coming up, just a table, where we're going to start going out on Saturdays, like maybe one Saturday a month, those that want to. And it's kind of like an evangelism / soul winning thing and getting people saved. Joe and Janie went up to a church in Baltimore a few weekends ago and went out with them, and because we always want to get a good model and those kind of things. And so I'm going to do a class, but I want everybody to come to the class, like because it's not just for going out, but it's how should I deal with people, you got it, and help them and teach a little bit about the Roman road and how the Roman road is something that they taught us when we were little about how you get people saved and going through the book of Romans and how you teach them, you know, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And it is for by grace that you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And then you go to John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. That was the gift, his only begotten son. It's real easy that whosoever should believe him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then you give them the opportunity to accept Jesus into their heart. And it's real simple. And I'm gonna show you how to do it in a non-confrontational way. I'm going to teach you how to handle people that they don't want to hear it. So, okay, no problem, because one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase, right? And so you don't walk away. See, you know, they going to hell, bunch of demons. No, man, we don't. That's not how we do it. And then Romans 10:9. If you'll just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so that all that means is you have to believe that God, you're normally closing your eyes at this time, but keep them open. All that means is you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And that word repent is not a hard word. But you don't know what I've done, it's still not a hard word. But I've been a bad person, it's still not a hard word. Repentance means that it's a change of mind and a change of direction, that I was heading in the wrong direction, doing the wrong thing, and I came to the knowledge of his love, and I made a U-turn and started heading in the right direction. Every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And so if you're in the room and online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, we're going to pray this prayer today. Pastor, why are our heads not bowed and our eyes not closed? Because I'm going to teach you, because you have to learn how to talk to people face to face when you do this. And so I'm going to make this confession, and we're going to make this confession together. So maybe you or someone in the room, maybe you're a Christian and you just need to repent. Maybe you're in the church calls a backslidden condition. All that means is, you know, you just got on the wrong road. Maybe you're not saved and you need to give your life to Jesus. We're going to pray this prayer together. Okay, now you can bow your heads and you can close your eyes. I want everyone in the room and online, I want you to repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you, a holy God. I know Jesus died, shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord. Be my Savior. and from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you in every evil work. Tell him, you have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done today. We give you praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise.